Got the round table together. Jim Donovan for the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon, his analyst, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. This one kind of leaves you with that odd feeling of you felt you saw something good, Jim, and nationally the Browns are getting a lot of love.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I almost feel the way I felt after the Cincinnati game and probably a little bit after the Philadelphia game that, you know, there's growth and they're close, and I would, you know, hope that they would play this Sunday. And then after we get home at 3 in the morning, I say, no, that's okay if they don't play this Sunday. But, yeah, I agree with you, Vic. I mean, there was some improvement.
But it's still 0-4.
It's 0-4. It's like, you know, you're just hammering away at a big piece of cement. And you're knowing at some point that this thing's going to break. But yeah, it's just a matter of when.
You don't want to feel good at 0-4, but I think we are definitely seeing progress in all aspects of this team. I think it's a very different team from the one we saw last year.
So does it make it a very different assessment when, because folks will want to always attach one year to the next and losing to losing especially. I mean, you do it with winning too, but in this case, so Tom, as young as this is and how much we're learning about these players each week, what they're capable of, what they can do, does that make it different in assessing 0-4 circa 2012 versus a losing stretch last year?
I think it has to, Vic, and I think that's what I've been trying to tell some Browns fans that I know, that, hey, look at this team through a very different prism. Look at it. You know, you can't necessarily look at wins and losses. Are the wins going to come if they continue to play like they did last night? Absolutely. But at this point in the season, and let's not forget, through a quarter of this season, they played four pretty darn good teams.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think that, you know, the schedule has not been, you know, too favorable for the Browns by any means. Oh, by the way, the Super Bowl champion Giants in 10 days. So I do think you have to view this very differently than you have in the past, Vic.
Well, I think you also just really have to take a look at how young they are when you go out there and watch them play. And I think that, you know, on the final cutdown, we all went, wow, they're young. I mean, there's 15 rookies. There's 27 guys with hardly any experience on the roster. And you kind of giggle about it and go, wow, they're young. But then when you go out and watch them, I mean, they are really young. And as Tom said, then you match them up with good teams that they're playing.
Yeah.
And that's where you say, boy, this is how this is going to play out. And the other thing, too, is you have to realize they are playing without Joe Hayden, and they are playing without Phil Taylor. Yeah.
And they were down two big playmakers then, last night without Massaquoi and Cribbs.
And Cribbs. And, Doug, the thing that shows up, I guess, with this youth, we've been kind of saying when you get younger, you get faster. I thought last night was evidence of how much speed is helping this football team and how I think it closed that gap somewhat with the Ravens.
Yeah, I think, you know, the week before we saw Cameron show up. Last night we saw Billy Winn show up. And, you know, just a matter now, we've got to get somebody to show up that can make the plays like Bolden was making for them last night.
Yeah.
And when you got that, then all of a sudden, you know, the quarterback has confidence regardless of where the coverage is. You know, his guy's going to come down with the ball.
Sorry to interrupt. Doug makes a great point there. I think you got to hope that one of those three guys, whether it's Massaquoi or Gordon or Little, develops into that number one receiver, that target that Whedon can count on play after play. Jimmy was just talking to guys in the locker room. Is there yet a go-to play for this team? Because they really don't seem to have a go-to player quite yet.
Yeah, there has to be a guy that you push the button automatically, and you know that guy is on the other end of that play.
Right.
That's the play you need. And anytime Baltimore needed it, anytime the Buffalo Bills needed it the week before,
they could dial it up.
Anytime Cincinnati needed it, it was A.J. Green. You know, and you have to find that guy that's the automatic, that's the problem for the other team, and they say, listen, no matter how good we cover, and Demetri Patterson, I thought, covered pretty well last night, they have a guy that we can't, you know, deal with right now.
All right, so even though he had that killer pick six, Doug, do we feel the guy on the front end of the type of play that these guys are talking about, that go-to play, is the right guy, and four games into it, has Brandon Whedon started to establish that sense that you could count on him to deliver a lot of those plays?
Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately the pick six, the way the play was executed wasn't bad. I mean, it was a short motion and really didn't run off the cornerback, and he just sat on the route. But I think, you know, Brandon Whedon, you know, last week it was a little rough, but, you know, yesterday, not the best of conditions, but he didn't panic. He's on the road. The one thing, you know, I thought, you know, yesterday they blitzed Ray Lewis quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He was timing them up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you've got to get into a different type of cadence that, you know, he can't tee off on it.
Now, the other adjustment I did notice, though, is Pat Shurmur going with two backs later in the second half to account for that blitz. I mean, it looked like the adjustment was made with personnel to handle it, but you were mentioning the cadence point, and that's a thing that a young guy's got to learn.
You know, Phil Dawson had a great comment after the game when I was questioning him, and he said, you know, I have been on Browns teams that have never gotten over the 50-yard line when we've come into M&T Bank Stadium to play the Ravens. And we have seen a lot of young quarterbacks come in and play for the Browns and go in there and play great Raven teams and really have a problem. I thought Whedon hung in the game and then became very competitive in the game and almost got them into overtime.
And look at where those first six or seven drives started. I think their best field position was their own 20.
He was
moving the ball pretty well. And I really liked, you know, to Doug's point, I thought the resiliency he showed after the pick six.
Sure.
You know, to go right back there on the field and have to move the team, and he did.
It's the roundtable portion of the show with Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, and Tom Withers. And, guys, we really can't say, I think, enough about the way this defense played, especially we've singled out some players. Billy Winn, Ataba Rubin played well. We saw what Craig Robertson was able to do. All that stuff is great. But I think it's the scheming that really jumps out at me. Watching what Dick Geron was able to put together, both in terms of creating rush, but especially coverage. It looked to me like Joe Flacco, even though he throws for 356, he never felt to me like he had any comfort level with what Geron was putting in the back end.
No, I agree with you. And he holds on to the ball a little bit longer. You know, sometimes that works for him and sometimes it didn't work for him. But I really legitimately did see pressure and that it was going to be there. And when they wanted to dial up, I thought they could get in there and, you know, force him to pull the ball down a little bit.
Well, the thing was they didn't let Ray Rice run wild. I mean, they really shut down Ray Rice. And, you know, anytime he played Baltimore, the offense kind of goes through him. And they did a great job on him. Every time he came out of backfield, he was getting whacked. You know, if he was they had DeQuell locked on him a lot of times. So, they had the success in the passing game. But a lot of that passing game success was just great plays by Bolden.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Tom, to look at a defense that's missing so many key parts and still come up big like this, I believe that's got to set a tone for the rest of the year when you do have Joe Haden back, when you do have Phil Taylor back.
I totally agree, Vic. I mean, you know, last night when those completions were being made to Bolden, I'm thinking, Joe Haden, where are you? But by the same token, Dimitri Patterson had some really good coverage on a couple of those plays, and those guys just made better plays. So, I'm with you. I think this defense, you know, this team could end up being identified by this defense down the road. I mean, we've seen sacks, we've seen pressure, we've seen turnovers, a lot of good things.
And you brought up Phil Dawson's name. I mean, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm taking for granted 50-yard that he's going to line up a 50-yarder and make it, and that's nuts
and
to think that.
And they're not just getting over the bar.
No.
I mean, he's got plenty on him.
Yeah.
And he tied Doug Deacon now in games played for the Browns, 203 last night.
You got a little gift after the game.
I got a little gift. He gave me a ball with on my picture on my side was has been, and but his side was never was. With on the bottom, we fooled him for a long time.
That is so cool.
You know what? We have taken him for granted, Vic. To consider the teams that he's kicked for over the last 14 years here, and my good friends at Stats LLC today came up with a stat that his 11 field goals of beyond 50 yards in the last 17 games is unmatched in NFL history. Wow.
I mean, is he not an all-pro kicker?
Oh, he should.
We talked about it on the
plane.
Well, we talked about it on the plane last night. He has suffered, you're right, for the records of the teams that he's played on. Never mind, there's no consideration of where he kicks for most of the year.
No, that's true.
Well, you know, last night was not an easy thing because when the field gets wet, your plant foot gets vulnerable.
Wet ball. Slipping.
Wet balls, I mean, he's just amazing.
Yeah, he's just amazing, and you're right. It's easy to just kind of accept that, but I think it's still a dynamic for strategy, for play calling. Mm-hmm. When you've got that guy, it really gives options to Patrick.
Yeah, it can also be a detriment, though, too. You tend to think, okay, you know, we're going to settle for the field goal instead of maybe taking a couple of shots downfield, but what a weapon to have.
Mm-hmm. It truly is. Now, you know, with 10 days to prepare for the next game, and we know what that opponent is, let's talk about some of the areas this team needs to address and has to get better. And let's start with holding on to the football. Still a problem, still a Greg Little issue. He does make that spectacular 43-yard catch. I thought that might even have been a breakout moment on that play that
so
helped set up the touchdown. So did he. And then it follows up with
the
just that horrendous breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. So what do you do? I mean, where does it go from here? I know they're working on it and they're addressing it, yeah. But how do we?
Well, I mean, it's big moments in the game, and they're always a drop is a bad moment in the game. But certainly, you know, there's a little sizzle going on, and you know, it's obvious you're going to put the ball up, and there it is. And if the kid throws it in the right spot, and you know, you drop it, it's a problem. I don't know, Vic. I don't know what they do until they get on a hot streak where they start making a bunch of catches.
Have you ever seen anything like that with through your playing career with a player who needed that sort of, you know, focus? I mean, what did other coaches
well,
do?
Know, I think, you know, probably the guy we would relate to is Braylon Edwards.
Yeah.
Now, Braylon, though, when it was a spectacular catch that might end up on ESPN, all of a sudden he was able to do it.
He was.
Yeah. But it was just the routine ones that he dropped. The catch in the end zone last night would have been a good catch because the ball was a little bit behind the whole football. I mean, there's just too many drops. And for a quarterback, then all of a sudden, where's your confidence? Are you going to go to that guy again if you can't count on him? You know, that's where, you know, Flacco, I mean, last night he had the advantage. When, you know, 81 was out there in the second half, he knew where he was going.
Sure.
I mean, the thing I worry about with Little a little bit, Vic, is that he's obviously a guy who needs a swift kick in the pants once in a while. And I know you don't want to coddle him. But by the same token, I don't think you want to be too tough on this kid and kind of, you know, wreck whatever confidence he has at this point. So I think it's important for them to continue to throw the ball to him. You know, might it be good to sit him every once in a while or throw him on special teams maybe to drive the point across?
If you had healthier receivers, I guess you could. Yeah, without Mohamed Massaquah there, and you're putting Jordan Norwood in the lineup. I mean, there's so many limitations, and now Josh Cripps has the injury.
And let's not forget, Little was not the only player to drop a ball last night.
He was not, no. With the other thing to work on that I think they made progress with is the directional kicking of Reggie Hodges. It got better in the sense that he got more loft, therefore more hang time, but some of those kicks were still short.
You had 34 yards off the first one. Conversely, if you go to what the other guy did, you know, he's parking the Browns out, Cook, inside the 10, inside at the 6 another time. I mean, he made long fields for the Browns, and I think that's the goal eventually, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, if you looked at Brad Maynard last year, Brad was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like a golfer with a golf club.
You're right.
He knew where he was going to hit.
On a spot.
And, you know, you go back to John Madden's book where, you know, he says the coffin corner kick is becoming extinct because kickers just don't like to do it. It's a totally different set of muscles or, you know, alignment that it goes against it, and then you get some bad kicks. But, yeah, you're losing, you know, 15, 20 yards on directional kicking.
You know, to make sure your coverage gets there, I guess that's the trade-off, is that if you don't get your coverage down there because he kicked it deeper but didn't have the hang time with it, now you risk a return that goes the distance.
I'm one of those guys that always likes to have either whether it's the guy kicking off or punting, just kick
drill
the crap out of it. Yeah. That's
your coaching
technique.
Send
that thing long, and, you know, we'll catch him if we can. But,
you know. Yeah. But, I mean, you go back to last week, there was two kickers that were moved. I mean, Henry and Philadelphia.
Right.
And Buffalo.
But we haven't seen that big booming punt from Reggie Hodges that we saw a couple years ago.
No. Yeah. I mean, even the sound of the ball going off his foot, you know, it doesn't reverberate. I'll tell you one thing, Vic. There is no question, we haven't talked about this guy in our roundtable today, but there is no question in my mind that Trent Richardson is going to be an amazing player for this team and in this league.
Yeah. So, but you bring him up because, again, he had a better game than he had against Buffalo. It certainly could have been much worse, but I see a guy still who could be doing more, and I'm not pointing it at him. I'm pointing it at when you get in close games in the second half, I guess I want to see him get more carries.
Yeah, I think everybody does. I mean, they threw it 52 times last night. So, I mean, you know, that takes him away a little bit. And I know you do the math on the scoreboard. But, boy, you know, right now we're seeing his effort plays. Yeah. Imagine when they can finally give him some creases to run through, and he's just going to blow it
open.
How
about when they get to play with a lead
at some
point?
That's right.
I mean, that's a whole other animal.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, and you're playing differently defensively. No question. Guys, thank you so much. The Roundtable, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is ahead on ESPN 850 WKNR.